This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning. 10 degrees in Green Bay, 15 in Appleton. That is the warm spot. 10 in Oshkosh. But Oshkosh started out at 9 this morning. It's first single digits that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
What is it in Green Lake?
Oh, Green Lake is, who cares?
Balmy?
They got so much going on in Green Lake.
Balmy in 72?
Sure. We'll take balmy 72, no doubt about that.
Jason Mansmith, Thrasher. Thrasher Opera House. Things happening.
Man, I was reading, you know, I don't get here that early to read all that's going on in your place. Yeah, John, anyway, congrats to you.
Yeah.
What you're bringing in, I should say.
We are super excited. We just released another season back in November, and we've got the most shows we've ever done between January and May. So we're going to stack them in here, and then we'll release another season in May and stack them in the fall, too.
Hey, Jason, I got to tell you, because we're big fans of John McGivern, right?
Yeah.
And I just over the weekend saw his episode of Main Streets with John McGivern in Green Lake.
Oh, no kidding.
And, of course, they were at the Thrasher. I was just disappointed that I didn't see your smiling face in it.
They actually did that about 2 months before I started at Thrasher.
Okay, that's
why
what it
I
is.
Didn't make it. But,
gotcha. But were you involved with the one that he did in Ripon?
We did the debut of that. So it was a neat little event for the place here.
Cool.
What'd you say, Todd?
Well, were you involved with the one that he did in Ripon years ago?
Yeah, I was at the Chamber of Commerce at the time when he came into Ripon. So I was there every day with them on the shoots. Just a great organization to work with and so much fun to work with.
No disrespect to the city of Ripon. Very nice community. Nice college. And the Republican Party was formed there. Other than that, what do you do a story on in Ripon?
Ripon Good Cookies.
Well, That doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, they're gone?
Right, oh, they've been gone for a long time, I think.
Yeah. If you haven't been in our downtown, we have a great brewery. Knuth Brewing Company is amazing in downtown. They got great food, great beer. And we have got a winery and a brewery in Ripon.
So, wow.
We're doing good.
Okay.
Hey, when we come to Green Lake and we want to do one of these like date nights and stay overnight, which is one of my New Year's resolutions, is to stay overnight out of town at least once a month. And it can be Green Lake, Milwaukee, or else some, you know, we go away too. Like, but where do we stay when we come down to see? I'm looking at all these shows. This is unbelievable what you have. I want to hear about it. But so dinner, there's great restaurants in Green Lake. And the Heidel House, that's where we used to stay when we were kids. Is that back and running and great?
Absolutely.
Okay,
they are up and running, completely renovated. And the cool thing is they work with us. If you come to a show and want to stay overnight, you put in the, you know, the code word, the promo code, and you get 20% off your room stay at the Heidel House.
Wow.
Which
I'll
is a pretty cool
a
deal there.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it is. So, and just a great venue there, you know, great restaurants inside and great accommodations and stuff. But we got a lot of other great, you know, lodging establishments throughout the area that people can stay in if they're going to make a weekend. We got a lot of back-to-back shows coming up Friday night, Saturday night. So, you know, come on in, enjoy the great Green Lake area, especially when it's a little less chaotic and busy,
right?
During the shoulder season in the winter months. Still got plenty of going on, and that's where we thrive.
And some of the nicest people on the planet live in Green Lake. I just never had a bad, like, they're just always super friendly. Tell us tease us with some of these shows. I can read this, but you can tell me about it.
Yeah, so our kind of first show back coming up here at the end of the month is the Hen House Prowlers. They're a great bluegrass Chicago quartet. They are actually the United States department's bluegrass ambassadors. So they tour the world as ambassadors for the United States about bluegrass. You know what bluegrass is, right? It's just heavy metal for country people. Right?
Okay,
they
like
play
that.
Fast, they play loud. It's true. It's what it is, man. Then we're super, the next day we're welcoming back Peter Mulvey, great singer, songwriter, activist from the Wisconsin area. Peter's coming on in for a 506 session. I love these 506 sessions. We only have 80 tickets available. Right. So we pin the 200 room down to 80. You get a little cocktail table. You can bring in snacks. It's pretty cool. And so that's coming up on February.
Why is it called 506?
So 506 is our location here. That's 506 Mill Street in Green Lake.
So that,
right. So we have a little session here.
A little different environment.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A little different environment.
Okay, cool.
So also later in the month, we have Tab Benoit, which is sold out. Good luck getting a ticket. You won't find that. We tie that in because we launched a film series this year as well. And you're like, why is the Opera House doing a film series? Well, when Charlie Thrasher built the place back in 1910, it was used as a gathering place, and they showed a lot of movies, a lot of silent movies. Then they got talking movies. So we're kind of going back to the roots and showing some wonderful films. So our first one out the gate coming up February 6th. Now, these are all free and open to the public, is a Jazz Fest, a New Orleans documentary. So it talks about the 50th anniversary of that great event in New Orleans. In that movie is Tab Benoit, who just happens to be playing our Thrasher Opera House in a couple of weeks after that movie. So the nice tie-in is there for
us. What do people think of it, like Green Lake in general and your place, who hadn't been there before, when they come to that part of that slice of wonderful America? What do they say?
You know, in terms of the performers, they always really enjoy, because I think we give them really good hospitality and experiences, right? We're always stocked with cheese curds and Spotted Cow in the green room, which is always important, right? They like a nice meal. They like a good place. Plus, the room sounds fantastic, right? Oh, yeah. This room, this building was built in 1910 when there wasn't a lot of technology to build acoustic halls. And the fact that they got that kind of sound out of this room back then is unbelievable.
Isn't that something, though, how some of these communities – hardly had any. I mean, they still had outhouses outside, but they built like Oshkosh. Built these just ornate, beautiful structures way back when there wasn't a lot else. I mean, that just shows how important entertainment is to a community.
The value they put on that is significant.
Incredible.
And Jason, we talked about this last time you were on, but just kudos to Green Lake and you for preserving that. Those are so easy to tear down.
It is. And, you know, we are super appreciative of all the people that helped put it together. And we just continue to move forward and grow what we're doing in the Opera House. But not only the Opera House, the footprint throughout, you know, Green Lake and the area as well. Because we realize that sometimes people may not be able to get here, right? So we do a lot of outreach, too. We'll take artists to other places or facilities and you know, for people to experience just music. And you know what that invokes? That invokes memories and good times.
We've talked about that, but there's nothing like music that brings back memories.
Right. And I think it's great
sharper
that the entertainers and you do the outreach, you know, be it the schools or just facilities that the people can't get there, or maybe, you know, quite honestly, can't afford to get there. And that's just, it makes the performer feel good, but it also gets these kids interested in the Thrasher Theater, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to ask this question. The only time I've been to Green Lake, honestly, was for fishing stories, meaning like Al Sampson and things like that. But how much are those houses now right around the lake? Are they affordable for a normal kind of guy?
Nobody in radio lives around the lake.
Yeah, so I don't think there's anybody in radio who lives around the lake. but yeah, you know, the real estate market here is strong, is the word I will use. But there are no shortage of properties that are also going up too, right? So, you know, this is, you know, a lot of people from Illinois. We have a lot of Illinois guests that come up during the summer months, and a lot of properties here that are on the lake as well. We like to call it a little bit more affordable of a Lake Geneva, you know. So a lot of people come to Lake Geneva, but a lot of people come a little bit further to come to Green Lake and some of that. But still an opportunity to affordably bring a family here too for, you know, a weekend, either summer or winter, and still do it okay.
Yeah,
good stuff. Jason, we salute you. I mean, we're going through, it was page after page after page. I mean, you're loaded for the entire year, it looks like, right?
Yeah, we're getting we're already booking late 2025, early 2026. Wow. We've got a huge announcement coming up at the end of the month for a great performer that's going to be joining us in May. So stick around for that one.
So Jason, you got a newsletter that you send out we can sign up for so that we don't have to. I mean, it's love having you on the show, but some people just I love getting newsletters. Meyer Theater, what they have going on there. Of course, that's here, but you know, Oshkosh, you guys, because there's a lot of us that. Don't have access to it. It's not like the Packer schedule where, you know, it's on the front page every day, you know? So people get it?
Get to our website, thrasheropperahouse.com. You can sign up. We've got an e-newsletter that goes out. We're not going to bombard you either. You know, we'll get it. We're not going to hit you 15 times a week. You know, we'll maybe hit you once a week or once every couple of weeks, but full schedule always available there. And then our website as well, thrasheropperahouse.com. Follow us on our show socials, Facebook and Instagram at Thrasher Opera House. But we got a lot of different varieties. We got some great blues, some soul singers, some singer-songwriters, some folk coming on in. You know, everything but opera coming in this this run out.
And you know, one of the things you mentioned earlier, and you guys both mentioned as far as the sound, when people, boy, you notice that right away, even when you're just a ham and egg, as my dad used to say, Jim and I, but even like when we're at the Grand or at the Widener's, you walk on a stage of a real professional place like that, it just gives you confidence because you know you're going to sound good.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know who Mike Ferris is. Mike's the lead singer of a band used to be in the 90s called the Screaming Cheetah Wheelies, right? So he was here doing a solo show maybe a year and a half ago, and he's a great soul singer. And he's like, you know, people pay millions of dollars to get a room to sound like this nowadays. And these were just a bunch of guys who put together a room back in 1910, had no clue realistically how it was going to sound, and it turned out amazing. So
that's
just
incredible.
Real testament of where we're at.
Because I'll tell you what, we've all been to the opposite end of the spectrum too.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're trying to speak at some place and it's just lost up in the ceiling or echoey, and you have to fight so much harder to get people's attention and everything. So that's cool. Your kind of places over 100 years old, those are national historic places, man. It's awesome the life you have given that place.
Yeah,
we are super blessed in the community to have this available to us, and the support that we receive from not only the community but the entire, you know, state of Wisconsin and beyond. Right? We just had ticket sales this morning. I was looking through the South Dakota. People are coming from South Dakota to watch your show.
Really? That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and those are ambassadors. They're going to go back and tell other people about the Thrasher Opera House. Yeah,
that it's not their first time here, right? So they come pretty regularly. So
Do you have? I can't ask you because you're the manager there. If you've got a favorite coming up, but just tell me something that you're really looking forward to
on a personal level.
On a personal level, if you guys haven't seen Scary Vore yet, it's one of the coolest shows you will see. It is a Scottish pop band, and they absolutely rock this place. Like, it is. Like Charlie Thrasher probably is maybe shaking his head a little bit when he built this place going, I didn't know if I was going to expect electric bagpipes and a bunch of other things and like lights and smoke and haze and all these things, but it is a fun show.
I love bagpipes. I love bagpipes.
Here you're going.
On my funeral, I'm trying to get a bagpipe guy.
Perfect. Well, we hope to see you down here for it. Come on down. We'll get you in.
All right. Thank you very much. Jason Mansmith, Thrasher Opera awesome House. Place. A phenomenal place. In Green Lake. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Be well.
Talk to you soon. We'll get started. Quick break. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On the mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WSS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course the Civic Media app worldwide. Joined right now by Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen, turning the page. Two of the more, how do I put this? Not just interesting, compelling guests we have, because you guys have no BS meters.
I would say impactful.
Impactful is the word I was looking for. Thank you, Jim.
The password is impactful.
No, what they do in the schools and what they do for the communities that they outreach to. And You've been on the show before, and the reason we keep bringing you back is because we love your mission and your vision, and you are easy.
And you've been there.
And you've been there. And we always talk about, we just had somebody on yesterday from the Optimist Club, and they're all about the youth, and that's great. But you guys tell a different story, and they believe you because you were there.
100%. You know, I relate it to, I think, why...
is Douglas, by the way.
This is Douglas. I relate it to why we like coming here. It's connection, right?
Good. But what is your message? Maybe some people don't know you.
Give us a little background again.
Right.
Yeah. Reset.
Our mission is to go out and to connect with youth in a way to address some of the really, you know, hairy issues that adolescents go through. It's about developing or delivering a type of story that anyone can get behind. And it's not about that, just that drug and alcohol. It's about life on life's terms. And honestly, what I guess recovery looks like, which is different to everyone.
And thanks for having us. This is Jake, by the way. We always love being here. It's so much about connection. It's about breaking down some really difficult pieces that happened in our life to make our stories more relatable to them so they can connect with us and maybe ask for help.
This might be a bizarre question, but do kids get into drugs because of bad situations, whether it's home, social media, school, whatever, whatever? Does that lead them into drugs, or do drugs lead them into worse things afterwards?
Yeah, that's that whole nature nurture debate, right? And I think it's a little bit of both, right? It has to be the curiosity or maybe bad information where these kids take something and then it connects with their brain, the certain brain chemistry. So like with opiates, only about 27% of brains get very addicted to heroin or opiates. The other 73% just don't like it as much. So absolutely, you have to have the biology, but then there also has to be that social acceptance, which could happen in the home or the social community. And then there has to be that availability piece too, right? The ability to buy
access.
It and access. Absolutely.
Now, that's not been a big issue. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that's
it's out there.
So I want to talk a little bit more about your message, because I think people who are listening, to invite you in to have you speak. What I like about you guys, well, I like a lot of stuff about what your message, but when they give a talk at a school, they do a survey, and not the teachers, the students rate these guys unbelievably high. Like, right? So what is, if
we would, I just want to jump into one quick thing here, though.
Yeah.
I just want, the reason I find this so impactful, and you're right, I find it really impactful because I knew this guy when he was 12 years old. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most wonderful kid you ever meet. Good looking kid, funny kid, charismatic kid, great athlete. So I knew him when he was 12. I didn't know the guy that went to prison.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting right next to me, we've known each other for so long. Mm-hmm. So I have a personal thing here when I see you, knowing how you had a great, love your mom and dad, or your stepdad and your mom, loved them, great friends of mine. And then you went to that dark place, and now you've rebounded, and I think you're saving people's lives.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I appreciate, you know, all that kindness that you shared, John. I'm going to go back to what your question was on, you know, why do kids use?
Right.
Because they work. And when I lost
the drugs?
The drugs. You know, when I lost my dad when I was 15, right. I had night terrors for 4 months. I wanted to get better sleep. You could imagine after losing my dad at 15, I was about as hard set against drugs as anyone could be. But when you're drowning, you'll do anything to breathe. And when I had someone, you know, recommend something to sleep, not only it worked, but it opened up this Pandora's box because I had such a undeveloped brain at 15. Not only did it work, you know, quote unquote, but I was good at it. I was like really good at something for the first time in my life, and I felt lied to.
And I had a very different childhood and upbringing. You know, my parents are still married to this day. I started using a lot later in life. I was the more straight-A student, scholar, athlete.
Wow.
So when Doug and I really get up on stage, it's about saying, you know, if you look for the differences between your lives and ours, you'll find them. But if you look for the similarities, you'll find those as well. And it's really about getting the kids to say, I can connect with one of you, and I'm going to take just a piece out of that story and maybe use it to relieve some of that suffering in my life or connect to somebody that can help.
Awesome.
But when we talk about our mission, so little of it is focused on the drugs. Like why Jake and I use two different reasons. Why we got sober, two different reasons. How we maintain
no
our recovery.
Fits all.
Correct. So so what is it talking about? It's about letting, you know, the younger generation know that if they're struggling with something, regardless if it is, it's a big deal. right? And either you address those things and you learn how to ask for help. I mean, I'm 39 years old. Asking for help is still one of the hardest things that I do in life.
And when you talk about being 15, I mean, you were 15. Mm-hmm. Johnny was 15. Everybody was 15. And I think a common thread there, you talk about 15, Doug saying, I kind of had an undeveloped brain. I think a lot of 15-year-olds have undeveloped brains. You know what I mean? And I think that's a place to start. Look, I'm not sure right now.
But to also be honest with them and to let them know how I stunted my growth emotionally, spiritually, socially, mentally, emotionally. Those are all things that still today at 39, because those are the learned behaviors that I had growing up, it's something that's still in progress. You know, like we never, any of us, right, ever just cross this finish line where, hey, we're done growing, we're done healing.
Right.
Things flare up, unchecked trauma, even when dealt with, sometimes comes back into your life. And those are things where if we can start teaching the youth to ask for help at a younger age, if they can identify resources at a younger age, if they can know what connection is, I think that's what it'd be.
Well, Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page, both have seen the devil eye to eye, have rebounded from it. They're literally saving kids' lives. When we come back, I want to ask you guys, what are the questions that kids ask you when you're a thing? Where in your mind you're saying, this is a... Do you know what I mean?
Just 100%.
The questions they're asking.
And then I also want to talk about how the community can help you get in front of more kids.
Awesome. Appreciate that.
I think
kids. I mean, there's a lot of... Yep.
A lot of adults.
Very successful professional people.
How about parents that have kids? I mean, the scariest thing in the world, being a dad myself.
Yeah.
Having a kid that struggles.
This is fascinating. Douglas Darby, Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page. Back after this.
You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do. When you're riding 16 hours and there's nothing much to do, and you don't feel much like riding, you just wish the trip was through.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. We're at Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen, Turning the Page. I want to go back to the if you don't mind, because you're a guy, straight-A student, athlete, wonderful kid, whole thing like that. Tell me about the darkest, and you were talking during the breaks here, tell me about the darkest moments of your life that you talk to people, not just kids, because I said, there's a lot of functioning professionals out there who we don't know what really happens. Talk about how bad it can get.
Honestly, instead of how bad it can get, for me, the biggest realization was that true fact that everybody struggles. And I think it's one of those things where pain is inevitable. We're all going to go through it.
Right.
But suffering is optional. And, you know, I used to see kids get a B on a test, you know, straight A students, and they'd be devastated.
Yeah.
I would have been the guy hanging that on the fridge. So what people struggle with, especially in adolescence, when you're just trying to figure out who the hell you are in the first place.
Right.
If it's a problem to them, it's a big deal, you know, and I mean, the darkest times is, I've gone into the Native communities, and that's always the biggest heartbreak for me because they've dealt with generational addiction.
Right.
And I see these kids that have grown up in these families, and even before the drugs set in, it's almost that learned behavior where their emotional state is disassociated or is almost living in like early addiction without even the drug use. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Green Bay, Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm not here for prohibition, but we have a national baseball team called the Brewers, right? Like, we know we have an issue.
Yeah. What, let's talk about the kid in, but I don't want to stereotype it, the Nida versus, he may not be surrounded with the support, and yet there's people in Green Bay that are, I'm not saying they could be on the United
Nations.
They
have all the support.
All the support, but still, and he's still. So just what does the kid do that doesn't have the support? I mean, it's such a struggle to get it.
Yeah. I don't think the kid does anything. I think as the older generation or the ones that have gone through it are the ones saying, look, I there's nothing I'm going to say to these kids that's going to make a damn bit of difference what they do Friday or Saturday night. They're never going to come up and share their darkest secrets with me, and I'm just going to fix it like that. But I will sit in the mess with them, whether they need to cry, scream, whether they just need to be quiet. They're not going to do it alone. And I think if we take that approach, if we can start injecting, you know, our struggles, how we dealt with it, whether you've been in addiction or not, you guys have been through some hard times, right? How would you get through it? Show people what it's like.
I had one guy tell me, he was a recovering alcoholic, and he said that, you know, it started out almost like a euphoric thing when you're young. Oh, man, this is great. And then it got to the point where he just needed it. But he said then it got to the point where he was so disgusted with himself, considered himself such a loser, that he drank to get over the feeling of being a loser because he drank.
It's about the connection and the communication. And, you know, when I talk to parents and they say, how do we help our kids? It's not one big talk. It's lots of little talks. It's about establishing a bond of trust. And when Doug and I come in and we talk about these things, that's what we're doing. We're breaking the ice and we're starting that conversation.
And it's not the Jake and Doug show. We go in to start the conversation, to put them in the hands of the professionals that have that warm handoff to the kids that are going to see them, or to the people that are going to see them day in and day out. We want them to feel comfortable with us, and we can vouch for the other programs, the other mentors.
And to go back to Jim's question, what was your darkest time? You know, it was for me, it wasn't a huge event. I mean, it was my parents' house getting raided and me facing 57 and a half years in prison for distributing to a friend.
Okay, don't say that again, what you were facing.
57 and a half years in prison for distribution of a half a gram of heroin to a good friend of mine who wore a wire.
Wow.
You know, I wasn't a violent individual, but, you know, that was one of the darkest periods because I was so disconnected. I had been so isolated, pushed out. I had lost a job that I had loved. I had moved from a beautiful home into my parents' basement thinking I could save money. Life was really, really difficult. And, you know, it was that treatment that taught me how to connect and communicate again without those substances, because that's all my life. All I've been looking for was that connection. And it was really those substances that made me feel connected to other people.
So I want to talk a little bit about you guys, two different backgrounds, and I think sometimes we think it's tougher on the kid that comes from lower income or maybe not the most educated environment, but it's amazing to me how many kids from good, we would stereotype it as a good family.
On the surface.
It's like, dad's a doctor, live in a nice house.
I heard an analogy that was really, really great. If you think of a classroom and there's a waste paper basket in the front and there's all these kids sitting there and every kid gets a piece of paper and they get one shot to throw it in the basket, right? Some of those kids in the front row going to have an easier time. Maybe those are the people with more support. The kids in the back still have that shot. It's just going to be a little bit more tough for them.
That's a great analogy.
You know, and we all have our struggles. You know, we came from good families, but we all have different
times. Okay, going into that break, I was going to say, what are the questions that kids ask you sometimes, or not even just kids, I mean, whoever, where in the back of your mind you're thinking, they're touching on something that might just be below the surface. There might be an issue here. Can you describe some of those questions?
The one that always gets to me is I do come from a family that had great support, and I come from a family that had this in my family. My parents honestly didn't know what to do. I mean, it's one of those things. To have that love and support, like, I don't know where I would be without my mom, you know, or without the great people in my life. So to have kids come up and ask questions like, why doesn't my dad love me?
Yeah. Or how do I help my friend that doesn't want help? You know, those are the ones that always get me, you know.
Let's answer a couple around of those.
Yeah, what's the answer?
Those are some pretty good questions.
Yeah, what are your answers?
That totally would be a red flag.
So let's go back to...
Why doesn't my dad love me? That's a huge red flag.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. When they say, I've got a friend, are they sometimes talking about themselves?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Let's go back to your friend, the alcoholic, and talking about the shame. The shame and the guilt kept me in addiction. I lost a father to heroin, so to be a heroin addict myself... was a worst case scenario. And you talk about those dark days. I was so far removed from what like reality was. I didn't even have like on my radar that I could ever be sober again. That fear of the unknown was terrifying. You know, even when I went through detox and I knew that I never wanted to experience that again in my life, I still questioned, well, I like to go to the Packer game. Will I still enjoy concerts, not being messed up? Those were things where you got to learn to live your life.
Tony said one time, he told me that when they'd go out for dinner, that they wouldn't order until the pills took their effect. So he said he enjoyed the meal more. He literally wouldn't even eat until he got stoned because of that. Because it was such a big part of his life, being stoned.
Yeah. I think you're touching on something that I just experiences. And I know we're talking about kids and you deal with adults too, but I want to go back to the kid thing. So I work at a homeless shelter, right? Mm-hmm. We've done some things, apple picking, mm-hmm. cherry picking, mm-hmm. baseball games, botanical gardens, walking through. For two things. One, some of them have never done it. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, if they did it, they were high. Mm-hmm. And to experience that, like we have football, we have Packer games, you know, mm-hmm. we have tailgate parties every week. And I just love those comments like, this was fun. So I think parents, no, I'm not taking parents, but they've got to find stuff that they don't need that to enjoy the concert.
There has to be a mix of finding things that you like to do in the past and then also trying those new things, you know, bringing in those new experiences to keep things fresh.
Absolutely. And if you don't address the mental health aspect, like why you use drugs, and that's why I always say I don't care that kids use drugs, I care why they use them. If your life doesn't get better, you're always going to resort back to this.
If you get clean and I mean, things don't get better.
I've struggled sober, you know, and those are just as hard.
Tell me about the group support, right? Because there's this, we've had guests on here. What's it called? Wear Yellow. They kind of.
Oh, Section Yellow.
Section Yellow. Absolutely. Like they're going to go to a baseball game, they're going to go to a football game, they're going to go to a concert. It's like
sober section.
And I'm with people that get me. Mm-hmm. Are they youth bold enough to do that, or do you suggest that, or is it an individual?
Even the Rockers have that.
Rockers have it, right.
I think that's when you talk about the programs that are out there, the funding that's out there. The services just aren't enough. And I mean, there's a lot of great services in Green Bay, but
for the first time ever, more people are identifying in recovery than they are in active addiction. For once, it's starting to become cool again. So you start to see a lot of the younger population, they're not engaging in as much heavy drinking and things like that. They are doing Dry January.
And that's working. And there are some, I don't know, I don't get this all Gen X, millennials, whatever, but the kids who are like 29, 30, 31 are going, they're not drinking as much as we did when we were that age.
They're realizing that it causes some harm and damage, and mental health is becoming more and more important.
I think that's awesome.
Generation. Where did we see that or read it, or did we talk? Todd, did you have that where we talked about it, that like the drinking for that age group for like the first time ever has dropped?
Yep. That
maybe you brought it up.
No, I'm not that smart. Somebody, I read the same
thing.
Just
recently.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I do want to get back to your question. How do you help somebody that doesn't want help, right? Because that's a really difficult one. And for that one, I always say, you know, there's something called Prochaska stages of change. And the first one is that pre-contemplation. And when somebody doesn't want to stop using, the best thing that you can do for them is, I like to use an acronym called BALM, be a loving mirror. Right? Like if somebody has a problem, yelling at them, getting angry, punishing them isn't going to make them want to change. You have to be that loving mirror and create options for them.
Wait, give me that acronym again.
BALM. Just be a loving mirror.
Oh, wow. A loving mirror.
Be a loving mirror.
All right.
So when somebody's, you know, I need money, I'm in active addiction and, you know, kind of.
Okay. I've got to, again,
you got to stay calm.
I remember when I was probably college age. That's when the scared straight things started. Remember those?
Works great for parents, not so much for you.
That's what I was going to say. Do any of those things that, you know, say no to drugs, DARE program, scared straight. Now that you guys have been through everything, what works, what doesn't work?
Yeah, and less now with the scared straight with, you know, every kid has a computer in their pocket and they can do the research themselves.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, you start lying to them about these things.
Well, and I think it's about meeting people where they're at. You know, I don't expect society to tiptoe around my triggers. And so when a kid comes to me and says something where, you know, I smoke weed on the weekends, but I'm on prescription pills. I really want to get off the pills, but I don't know if I'm ready to stop smoking weed. Well, let's start there. Let's meet them where they're at. And again, I think we can start implementing this, with youth that are struggling that aren't. This is just good coping mechanisms.
And the
real
interesting thing is you're starting to see that in the hospitals as well. Isn't it? They're moving away from abstinence-based more towards harm.
Well, I can't. Oh, my God. I had Jim was with me. I mean, I suffered, and I don't want to bring up that I drink sometimes, but we were at a golf tournament.
No way.
Yeah. We were at a golf. Although I've cut way, 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 way back. So it's helped me lose weight.
We told the vodka story last time.
Yeah. But did you hear the other thing? The thing that's got me scared straight, and this is honest to God, no lie, right for the start of the year.
The price of vodka went up.
No, that wasn't it. It's gone down. That's a problem with vodka. It's so cheap. It's mind-boggling.
That is true.
No, so this fall, I got a haircut. Bad haircut. Really short haircut, okay? And I came in here, and it's like my hair's not... She's, like, stunted my hair. I didn't get a haircut for, like, 3 months. Normally, it's 6 weeks.
Nothing will scare a guy straight more than losing their hair.
I read a thing with older guys, drinking can make your hair stop growing.
Yeah. See, sometimes you got to... Lie to the vanity guys. It's John. That's not
this
true.
This is a
that
good,
is true. True. This, Jim is in Men's Health magazine.
This is a good
it's
group
in Men's
of,
Health
of,
magazine.
Of I don't
of
believe hair,
it
that
is much. True, Jim.
I
you
think
don't
people
know.
Drink. People drink, and they and it's all that is. It's collation. People get older, they lose their hair, and they drink. They're like, oh my god. That,
since
they have
I've
nothing
stopped
to do with
drinking,
each other.
Since I've stopped drinking, look at my hair. How much fuller it is.
His back is full of hair now.
Oh yeah,
his back is full of hair now.
He's an orangutan.
Nick even mentioned that. Hey, your hair looks really good again. True story. Honest to God. That's what scared me straight.
Bucking for a raise.
Got to ask this, though. You drive up to the UP and lines are...
A lot of bald people.
Pay no attention. Lines are so long at the weed stores. Is that a bad thing, the way you guys look at it? I mean, it's so accessible now.
I believe it's down to system. Do I believe that there are some people that smoke marijuana for medical use and it helps them? Absolutely. Do I believe that some people are junkies smoking weed? Absolutely. Again, this is so individualized.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
No, and again, this is quality of life that we're talking about. Too much of anything is a bad thing. I don't care if you have a shopping addiction or you can't get off the treadmill because you're so...
Are guys trying to lose weight and then talk about their homemade pizzas? They made like 12 of them and ate 4 of them in one day? Well, yeah, look over there.
You ever,
I was talking to the guy over the corner.
I like to cook.
Yeah.
I like to eat.
So there's different types of addictions.
If I told you to give a Diet Coke tomorrow, could you do it?
I don't
Hell
think
no.
soda.
No way you could.
So no.
Oh,
I'd struggle. I'd
I know.
Struggle.
Oh, yeah.
So I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, prevention when these things come out. Portugal, who decriminalized, was able to cut hard use by 50%. So when we make it legal, you know, I've never gone to the store to get alcohol and had them sell me anything else.
Hey, where do you think those lines were before the dispensary? You know, this problem is going to be here. Whether...
It was that guy who lived in a shack outside of town and...
I would sure like to see some of those funds come into Wisconsin and start helping prevention services.
That's a good point. All right, we're going to set a quick break. You guys aren't going anywhere. Douglas Darby and Jacob Hansen turning the page. They, like I said, have faced the devil and are trying to keep others from doing it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and of course our Civic Media app.
Todd? We got a great text in from Veterans First. They say their perspective on this is so important to our area. Thank you for having them on.
Thank you, guys.
Gail and a bunch over there for Veterans First.
Hey, talk about a community that was struggling with, you know, coming back and getting overloaded on prescription pills, not having the right information, being misinformed. You know, again, it's not these individuals, it's the system of care that needs to change. So even when you talk about Jake and I saving lives, I thank you for that. But the real mission is changing the system of care that we see from top to bottom. You know, if you go in and you find out you have cancer, before you leave that initial appointment, they're setting you up with a treatment plan. They're setting you up with support groups. They're letting you know what your family can get involved in. Even after you're in remission, you're going to have at least a yearly checkup, right? Why can't we offer that same form of care in mental health and addiction?
As an interventionist, I would work with families, take information, and it would take me multiple days to figure out how to get somebody into residential treatment as a professional working in the industry.
Jim, of course, helps run the homeless shelter here in town, just down across the bridge here. And what percentage of your...
70%
had issues.
Mm-hmm.
70%. Alcohol, I mean, guys did a good heroin. Job yeah. and everything like that.
That's about the same numbers in prison, too.
Really?
In jail and prison, 70 to 80%.
Mm-hmm.
have substance abuse issues.
But it and I'm so proud of these people. We're going to have one on, I think, tomorrow. But it's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough. And there's no pill for getting rid of alcohol. No. I don't know. I haven't seen it. It is just every single day. But they are happy. We have a guy coming on. Used to be a chef, owned restaurants. Pretty popular guy. I mean, if you saw him, you'd know him. Mm-hmm.
Tell them their hair's going to stop growing. I'm serious.
We're going to launch a new campaign.
Do you think that would do it?
It did, yes.
Yeah, well, he's getting older, so he's losing his hair. It has nothing to do with the alcohol. But what I say is it's going to be a year on Saturday.
That's awesome.
And it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's just great. And mm-hmm. that guy's going to get back. He's going to be back in the workforce. I mean, he's going to be great. I'm very proud of him. But it was tough. It's not easy. And I think you got to talk about being honest with kids.
Well, and nobody grows. Like, I mean, it was never a part of my 5-year plan to be a junkie. I mean, come on. Even when I was in the life, it was something that developed over time and I lost control of.
You're fighting against two things. You're rebuilding a damaged brain, but you're most likely also rebuilding a damaged life, because a lot of times the substances kind of let you get to those bottoms where you're isolated and, you know, don't take care of the problems that are coming into your life.
Burn all your bridges.
Burn all your bridges. So the time you get to residential,
I was going to get back to the bottom. Before you interrupted me, the last thing I was talking about, I had a root canal this summer and we were at a golf tournament and I was suffering, wasn't I? Horrific pain. It was unbelievable. It was like childbirth.
Yeah.
And I was having to rub vodka on my gum to try to numb it because I couldn't get any pain pills. They refuse to give you pain pills these days when you go to a dentist.
I'll let you finish, but you have a very low threshold of pain.
Oh, my God. I've got one of the highest thresholds of pain. You have no idea the pain I deal with on a regular basis. I just don't complain.
So
I suffer in silence.
Doug always says he'll do anything to breathe when you're drowning, right?
Yeah. And that's a whole other side of it, is there are people in legitimate pain, and because of the misuse of prescribing and information that went out, now there's a population of people that are in legitimate pain that are in constant fear if their medication is going to be taken from them or cut back. Or
I'm going to tell you another thing that's an underreported story. I had some friends who had been at, I think it was Fort Carson, Colorado, mm-hmm. which was a huge place for returning vets. Mm-hmm. And many of them were, you know, whether it was injured or wounded, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. and they were given prescriptions for pain pills. Mm-hmm. But you know what that led to? That led to their wives getting addicted like you can't believe. And that became a huge thing.
So you guys, misery loves company.
You guys talk about a support system. Mm-hmm. It was just the opposite.
Taken
there.
Away.
Exactly.
Yeah. I always say, you know, my wife is in recovery right now too. And I say when we were together, you know, 99% of the time we'd support each other's addiction. When we got into recovery, 1% of the time we wanted to use maybe, and they very rarely overlapped. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where it became a source of pushing us to do substances together, when we got clean, had a separation of time, learned the life skills, how to live life again, we became a support system for each other.
I got to say one thing too, and we deal with a really, really close dear friend of us who lost a son mm-hmm. to fentanyl. You take fentanyl, and there's a chance, a really good chance, eventually you're going to die from it. Okay, well, you're going to die, and people know that it's out there. It's not a secret.
Yeah,
they're so desperate for it, they know there's a chance they're going to die, and they'll still do it.
Yeah. Two things. Jake and I were in active use before the fentanyl really, you know, took hold. I don't believe I would be here. It's a whole different ball game. But also, people do. I mean, it's what we're looking for. My mom once sent me a story, and there was a bad dope in Baltimore that, you know, took so many lives over the weekend. She said, would you have stayed away from it? I said, I would have sought that out.
Wow. You know, and by the time these people get addicted to fentanyl and are searching it out, it's progression, right? They started on maybe a Vicodin or a Percocet for tooth pain or back pain, became addicted to that, realized they start getting sick when they came off it, had to find something else. The drug dealer, not, you know, will give them whatever they want then.
John, at 25 years old, I accepted the fact that I was going to die this way.
Wow.
So when you talk about the pharmacies or you talk about rules and laws and regulations, when like you tip the scales in it, I mean, I not only accepted it, I probably was welcoming it at this time. Like
you're wired.
Well, not even, I mean, I was hopeless.
You get to a point where there's just no hope.
You know, I thought my sobriety date is also the day that I attempted to take my own life in Brown County.
And we treat it as a punishment, right? Not a health crisis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you want to get help, you're going, I don't want to be punished. I don't want to go to jail for this. I want to get help.
Yeah. But I was accepting death over even the possibility of sobriety. But again, it's because I couldn't even acknowledge that I knew what sobriety was. What yeah. wasn't
we
an option.
We get you guys in front of schools and groups. So yeah, I know tell you us guys how to get contact these guys.
How do we get contact you?
TurningThePageNow.com.
TurningThePageNow.com. Beautiful. You guys are awesome.
Thank you guys.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thanks for being here, everybody. Bye. Back in tomorrow morning, Mind of the Mayor. See ya.
Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.